Labor Day. Probably don't get many Labor Day sermons. I'm not sure I've preached a Labor Day sermon. In fact, I guess growing up, I never really thought about it much other than it was another day for me before school started, because we always started after Labor Day. So it was another day to have to cook out on the grill. But this is taken from the U.S. Department of Labor's website. Labor Day, the first Monday in September, is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. The vital force of labor added materially to the highest standard of living and the greatest production the world has ever known, and has brought us closer to the realization of our traditional ideals of economic and political democracy. It is appropriate, therefore, that the nation pays tribute on Labor Day to the creator of so much of the nation's strength, freedom, and leadership, the American worker. So if you didn't know what Labor Day was, you do now. And I don't need to really recapitulate it, but this weekend offers us a moment to consider and celebrate with gratitude the labor of U.S. citizens who prayerfully have been building towards a better country for ourselves and for our children. And so this is a time that we pause to honor their sacrifice, our sacrifice, the work, and in a way say thank you, right? Thank you for the work that you've done that we live in this country. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Labor Day, because as followers of Christ, as Christians, we belong to a greater kingdom. As great as we might or might not feel that the United States is, I know there's varying opinions out there, our citizenship ultimately resides elsewhere. But the thing is, God's kingdom also requires labor for its strength, for its prosperity, for its well-being. Now, rather than kind of economic independence or profitable mercantilism, for the kingdom and God's economy to thrive, it's fueled on, and we heard a bit of it in Romans, it's fueled on a labor of love. Our labor in God's kingdom is a labor of love. And one thing I want to get out of the way right at the beginning is often we can hear this list of things like we heard in Paul's letter to the Romans as kind of, this is what you need to do in order to please God. God, I heard it put this way, and I like it. God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. God's mind has always been settled about you. He loves you. He holds you with affection. You didn't have to do anything for that to be the case for God. So God doesn't need your good works. That list of things is not for me to get right with God. So I need to outdo others in zeal of serving. That doesn't give me brownie points with God. I have infinite brownie points with God, as you do. But our neighbor, this world, needs our good works. It does need our labor of love to see the fruition and the goodness and the thriving of God's kingdom. Lewis Carroll relates this sort of sentiment in his classic winter tale, A Christmas Carol. I know it's September, but it is my favorite Christmas movie. I watch it every single year, no matter what. I'm partial to the George C. Scott version. But you might remember in the beginning, Ebenezer Scrooge is locked up in his room, and his old business partner, his late business partner, Marley, comes to see him and talk to him. And in their conversation, Ebenezer says to Marley, "You always were a good man of business. You did right for the labor, not only for yourself, but maybe for the thriving of mankind," in Ebenezer's mind. And this is what Marley says back to Ebenezer. Business? Mankind was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The deals of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. Man, that's awesome. That's pretty potent. It's self-aware and it's insightful. That last line, the deals of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. All of this money I made, all of this natural labor that I went through, my transactions, everything I put my hand to, they were the smallest part of what I was supposed to be laboring in. Rather, it should have been charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence. Well, our real labor is a labor of love, of these things that Marley's talking about, of what Paul is talking about in Romans. Well, labor of love. I decided, you know, I want to look that up in the dictionary. What do they think a labor of love is? They define it as a task done for pleasure, not reward. Labor of love, a task done for pleasure, not reward. And I began to think about that, and I thought, okay, I can come up with some examples of that. We've all participated in these sorts of labors of love. Maybe it's staying up one night to assemble a bicycle for one of your children on a particular holiday. Maybe it's sending your spouse off to a relaxing bath after a dinner party while you do all of the dishes and get cleaned up so they don't have to face it. Maybe it is actually going to several different stores to find just the right gift for somebody, because you don't just want to settle and just give them something because it's the occasion. Or you rearrange your schedule to accommodate taking someone to the airport. Man, that's one. That's really one. Can you take me to the airport? Or that's right there with, hey, I'm moving this weekend. Really? I think I'm taking someone to the airport. So these labors of love. But I also thought, you know, they defined it as a task done for pleasure, not reward. There are, however, also labors of love that are not as pleasurable as some of these that maybe I've talked about, where we are building something for our kiddos. You know, it is that accommodating our schedule. And this is I think Jesus is talking to his disciples, this is the taking up of our cross. It is a labor of love. It's not always easy to walk in love with somebody who has harmed you, who has ridiculed you. At least I've not found much pleasure in it. You may be very different than I am. But it can be downright hard. Just as I know, actually, the converse is probably more true. People who have to love me, it's their labor of love, because I can be cantankerous at times. I know it's hard to believe. I can be obstinate and push back and demand my own way. And I can even manipulate. And there's a labor of love that happens kind of both ways. Not always pleasurable, but it does further the kingdom. If it were easy, I don't know that Jesus would say, take up your cross. Jesus loving us costs. It wasn't the easiest thing in the world. You remember he agonized in the garden. So the labor of love, sometimes pleasurable, sometimes difficult. I found this quotation, although I could not find who said it. It said anonymous, but I found it to be arresting. While God waits for his temple to be built of love, man brings stones. So building this kingdom or this temple in this situation, love and we bring stones. That certainly gives allusion to the Tower of Babel. We're building something for our own glory. The stones brought for that. but it signifies maybe the self-righteousness of gathering stones and throwing stones in punishment and vengeance, exactly what we've heard of in our scripture reading today. Do not return evil for evil, but return good instead, loving your neighbor as yourself. And so we remember those who have labored for our good in our earthly nation this weekend. And certainly I am grateful that I live in this country and am able to enjoy the freedoms that I have. But our gratitude extends further for those who have labored in God's kingdom, those who actually have labored even on your behalf, prayed for you in the dark watches of the night when you've been going through something, someone who lent you a hand in the time of need or showed you mercy when it's not particularly what you deserved. Those times when we've experienced the goodness of the kingdom in our lives, and also gratitude for the times when we've been able to contribute in extending that mercy, forbearance, and charity to others. I know much of what we see around us makes it seem like the evidence of humanity's labor is just destruction. But as we heard in our scripture readings last week, the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail. The Spirit of God is at work, often in ways that are not perceptible to us. The kingdom is being built. The Lord promised us that in the midst of the things that we see, His Spirit is at work in people like you and me, often when we can't tell, working towards the thriving of His kingdom. And we perpetuate that labor of love when we abide in Christ and cooperate and participate in building the goodness of who He is. Amen.